Hi, friends. It's good to be with you again as we worship together, as we gather as families or as individuals, knowing that the Holy Spirit is the glue to tie us all together. I'm so grateful for all of you and for all that you all are doing for each other. I was talking to someone this week, and she said she's never gotten as many phone calls as this week, as you all are looking out for each other. Well, thank you for doing that. And if there's anything we can do to support you in this time, let us know as well. As we turn now to our scripture reading, we are looking at the topic of meditation. What does meditation as a Christian look like, and how can it influence our lives? We're going to start by reading from the book of Joshua, as Joshua and the Israelites are preparing to go into the promised land. This is what God commands them to do, starting in chapter 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may succeed wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And turning over to a passage you've heard me say 1,000 times, this is Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you that you do promise to be with us. Lord, we invite you into this time. We pray that you would transcend technology, transcend distance, and be with us and make us into the full body of Christ. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as you guys are enduring this thing that we're having to go through right now, what is capturing your mind? It is hard, isn't it, to not turn to the TV, to turn to news, turn to the internet to find out the latest information. That is what has been filling our minds constantly in recent weeks. As we watch, as we wonder, as we try to figure out what the future is going to hold, how that's going to impact our friends and our family, our church, all of those different things. It's easy to get wrapped up in all of those ideas. And instead of feeding on the good food of Jesus Christ, we're feeding on the junk food that the world loves to sell us. But today we want to look at the spiritual discipline of meditation, which is taking in the food of the Word of God and transforming us so that everything that comes out of us is anointed and covered by God's Word. It's changed by God's Word. We're going to look at a couple of different circumstances as Joshua was entering into the promised land, as Paul was in prison saying, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think on these things. How their work and their meditation on the Word of God changed who they were and how they ended up doing the ministry that God was calling them to do. We're going to look at meditation, why we do it, how it's different from Eastern meditation. Christian meditation is very different from that. How we do it, what we meditate on. We'll look at what it looks like to meditate in a crisis. And we'll look at how we can do that in the midst of a season like this. And then I'm going to give you a little exercise. We're going to go through a dearly beloved scripture, Psalm 23, that all of you probably know, at least close, almost by heart. We're going to meditate on that for a few minutes and see how that ends up seeping into us and changing us. So let's talk about the hows and whys of meditation and then look to how God can use that in our life, even in the midst of this crisis. Well, the passage that I just read to you from Joshua is one of those where you can just picture, you know, almost a million Israelites at the border of the promised land, ready to go in. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. We haven't even made 40 days yet of the wilderness of quarantine. They had been wandering for 40 years. And now it is time for them to go in. Joshua was a general. He was an army officer. You would almost expect God to give him battle plans as he's ready to go into the promised land. All right, Joshua, you're going to go along this ridge and you're going to take down this flank and you're going to do this. But the first thing God says is be strong and courageous. As at the beginning of the passage I just read, verse 7, it says, be strong and courageous. At the end, it says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. Those are the two bookends of this passage that God is instructing him. But in Hebrew writing, frequently, it's not the things that are on either end that are most important. It's what's in the very middle. What is in the very middle of this passage? It says, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. The law of the Lord, the word of God, that is the most important thing that God wants everyone to dwell on. And out of that center and out of that core comes the strength and the courage. It's one thing to tell ourselves, okay, be strong, be courageous, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But if you have no strength in yourself, and a lot of us feel like we don't have strength right now, we don't have wisdom, we can't see what the best plan is because we have no idea what tomorrow will hold, much less next week or next month. But the core that we need to rely on, the core of it has to be the Word of God. Meditating on it, letting it always inform our mouth, our lips, our hearing, our speaking, our actions. And as that core dwells in us, it begins to change us and change the way that we do everything else. There's an author, a classic Christian author from the late 1900s, Andrew Murray is his name, and he's written extensively about prayer. And one of the things he talks about as we talk about dwelling with the Word of God and letting it seep into us, he talks about how it changes, the hearing changes the way we speak. Think about a child learning how to speak. The first thing they need to do is learn how to hear. They're listening to mom and dad, to everyone around them, to try to understand the cadences and the syllables and all of that as they're learning language. They learn that, they hear it before they can even speak it. My oldest niece, Clara, I remember when she was not even saying anything, I was with my brother and my brother handed her something and she said, hey, who? It was like she heard the sound. She knew that those were the sounds that she was supposed to make to say thank you, but she didn't know the words yet. But she could hear that cadence. And so as we listen to the Word of God, that changes the cadence of our own life. It changes the cadence of our speech, of our prayers. It informs how we do these things. Andrew Murray points out that we learn to pray by hearing the Word and letting it rest in us. He points specifically to John 15. You know that passage as Jesus is saying, abide in me and I will abide in you. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. If my words abide in you, that's how we learn the language of prayer, is to let God's word abide in us. I mean, think about that word abide. Let's meditate on that word for a minute. Abide doesn't mean just drop in for coffee once a week. Abide means move in. Abide means get comfy, be quarantined with the Word of God. It means they are welcome to treat the house as their own. They're welcome to rearrange the furniture. Think about what asking God's Word to abide in our hearts means. What furniture does God need to rearrange in our hearts? What does He need to teach us how to do that we're not even listening to? How does inviting Him into our lives, into our hearts, into our conversations, into the thoughts in our head, how does that change who we are? As we think about those words and how that changes us, think about Paul in prison. At the beginning of Philippians, he's saying, do not be discouraged that I'm in chains. Don't be ashamed of my chains. Instead, use them. Use them to as hopefulness, as courage in the midst of suffering and trial. Here is Paul in prison What would you be thinking about if you were in prison? The rats, the chains on your ankles and your wrists, the guards, the lack of freedom. Boy, we know what that feels like right now, being stuck at home, not being able to go where we want to go. It's easy to think about that and to dwell on that. I saw a thing the other day, a friend posted, why don't you, instead of thinking I am stuck at home, think I am safe at home. You see how changing even one word changes our attitude toward being at home. When we change the things that we think about, it changes who we are and it changes how we look at everything else. So Paul, here he is in prison. He has every single right to complain about everything. And yet, what is he doing? He's encouraging the Philippians that whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful, think on those things. Let those be the food of your heart. Let those be the things that change where you are and be the foundation of your thoughts, of your conversations. And that will change how you pray. That will change how you enter into the world that God's calling us into right now. That's how we can be strong and courageous, to have those things in the middle of our hearts at this moment. When we look at all of this stuff, we also hear Paul's admonition to in Colossians 3:2 to set our mind on things above. It is so easy, again, to be caught in all of the stuff that's going on right here. But we as Christians need to have the spiritual discipline to keep our mind set there. And meditation is a really great way to do that. The biggest difference between Christian meditation and Eastern meditation, Zen meditation, or any of the other kinds of meditation, transcendental, all of those, they're trying to empty you of things. They want you to like get rid of yourself, get rid of all of that stuff, empty all of that, and you'll achieve some kind of nirvana. Christian meditation is very different in that you are not emptying, you're filling. You're trying to ask the Lord to fill you with his presence, fill you with the word of God, fill you with his good things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is good. We are asking the Lord to come in and fill us. And that is the true reality that we can be a part of, his world and his reality. So as we look at what we want to be filled with, we can look at a lot of different scripture to see what that looks like. The Psalms are full of David and other psalmists talking about what they're meditating on. They meditate on God's unfailing love. They meditate on his wonderful deeds, the mighty works of his hands, all of his promises. Psalm 119, that's the longest book in the Bible, or longest chapter in the Bible, rather. And the whole thing is an ode to scripture and how amazing it is. David talks about meditating on God's law, on his teaching, on his precepts, on his instructions, on his statutes, on his promises, and he's savoring all of this. I love the word savor because that captures what we're supposed to do with this. We're not just supposed to say, okay, I read my three chapters of the Bible today and we move on. It's not just a head exercise. It's not just academic understanding. It's letting it seep into our hearts and savoring it. In our worksheet, our workbook today about the study guide on meditation, it tells a story about how Hebrew children, the rabbis, when they started to teach children Hebrew, they would dip their fingers in honey pots and then let them write the letter Aleph. And they would then have them taste the honey on their hand. And they would read this verse from Psalm 119, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What the rabbis wanted the children to know was that God's word is sweet. It is something to be savored and cherished and dwelt with. It's not something to just quickly write off and move on. It's something that needs to dwell in us. Our last time together as a staff, we all, you should have seen it. We were all at our own 8-foot tables, scattered all around with like 2 feet between each table. We were very, very far apart. But one of our parishioners made cheesecake for all of us. And it was a huge gift to be able to share that with the team. And it was funny because every single person that took a cheesecake, even one person that didn't like cheesecake very much, we all took one bite and everybody almost in sync said, "Oh my gosh." It was such good cheesecake. You heard these sounds going, wow, okay. And It was just an amazing little moment. We weren't just, you know, eating a sandwich on the fly because we needed to move on. We were savoring that cheesecake. I mean, you didn't eat it fast because every single bite was good. And that's the kind of way that we need to treat the word, because we so frequently just buzz through it and don't stop and savor it and get all of the good out of it. One of the words for meditation in the Old Testament is actually something along the lines of murmur. People usually prayed out loud in those days. I know many of you don't like to pray out loud, but in those days, that was the common way to do it. So when you're meditating, you're actually saying those words a lot. But the same word can be used for like an animal, like a lion murmuring over his prey. Or I always think about a dog, you know, when a dog has a really good stick and they're like, it's that sort of thing. You want to get all the good out of that stick. You want to get all the good out of the bone. You want to get everything that God has for you out of the Word of God. And as we take the time to slow down and use a piece of scripture to savor it, that's when it really begins to change who we are and what we're thinking about. One of the ways that we can do meditation, pick a scripture. In my e-letter, I encourage people to start with something super simple, like be still and know that I am God. When we use something really simple like that, we don't have to think about too much, but we can start with the truth that God wants to give us in the midst of that simple phrase. I decided to try that before I told people to do it in my e-letter, and I said, you know, take 5 minutes, and I think 4 of the 5 minutes were spent with me trying to still my brain because I was thinking about all of these different things. But God was able finally to break through all of my busyness and let me be still, and then just sit with the concept of know that I am God. Know that God is God in the midst of this craziness, in the midst of everything that's going on. God is so much bigger than this. He was not surprised when this happened. He has promised to be with us. We can savor the truth that God is God and we are not, but God is with us and He's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. One of the things that you can do as you are savoring these passages, savoring these words, is to use your imagination. Jesus Christ told stories. He asked people to use your imagination. Imagine, you know, a father whose son leaves. Imagine a farmer sowing his seed. We are called to use our imagination to picture what's going on in Scripture, to let God use our minds to expand our view, not just looking at it one word at a time, but letting God give us the whole sense of the environment. Think about the passage I've been coming to a lot in the last week or two is the passage of the disciples in the boat, Jesus taking a nap, and this huge storm comes up. And they say, Jesus, don't you care? And can you just picture yourself in that boat and seeing a sleeping Savior going, hello, we need you right now. And isn't that where we are right now? But God is the one who controls the wind and the waves. And it's funny how God, in that instance, it was like Jesus needed to let them experience the worst of the storm so they could experience the best of His power. God's power display wouldn't have just been to settle a calm breeze. It was to settle a hurricane. And God is that big and He is able to do that. When we allow ourselves to enter into the story like that, it can have impact us and change us. One of the things about meditation is that you can't start with 30 minutes. You really need to start with like 5. Just start simple and easy. Start with a phrase like be still and know. And then God can, it's almost like endurance, building up endurance so that God can teach your mind to be still and focused on Scripture so that He can remind you of what we need to center ourselves on. As we think about what it's like to seek the Lord in the midst of a crisis like this, the Psalms are a place that have an infinite resource of things that we can meditate on. I was reading Psalm 77 this morning, and it just captures what we're in the middle of. He says, starting in verse 8, 77:8, he says, has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. In the midst of this storm that the psalmist is finding himself in the midst of his anguish, in the midst of his questionings, where is God right now? Yet he decides that he will meditate. He will meditate on all your work and talk about your deeds. That informs what he's talking about, how he thinks, and how he serves. That is what I want to encourage all of you to do as we're in the midst of all that's going on. Spend some time every day if you can. So just spend some time as a family. Set a timer. Say, okay, for the next 5 minutes, here's what we're going to focus on. Choose a scripture that speaks to you, one of your favorites. As I said before, we're going to spend a few minutes praying through Psalm 23 because it is one of those passages that we all know very well, and it's very applicable to our current situation. As I go through this, I invite you to use your imagination. If you feel comfortable closing your eyes, you're welcome to do that. That sometimes helps me to be able to picture things as well. But we're going to just walk through these six verses and see what God wants to show us as we pray together. So let's go before the Lord in prayer through Psalm 23. Holy God, we come before you. We are sheep. We are feeling lost. We are feeling like we are in a desert, that we can't see food. We can't see water. We have nothing, no strength of ourselves, no wisdom, no guidance. But Lord, you are our shepherd. You are the shepherd who loves his sheep. You are the shepherd that sings to us. You are the shepherd that leads and guides. You know this land when we don't know this land. You know where the good pastures are. You know where the water is. And Lord, as you lead us into green pastures, Lord, our heart rejoices because we long for you. Even as Pastor Steve sang a little bit ago, as the deer pants for living water. Lord, we long for spiritual food. We long for living water. Lord, and as you enter and bring in us into this beautiful place of green pastures, Lord, we thank you. We let go of our fear, and we drink deeply of this still water that you're leading us beside. Lord, help us rest beside these quiet waters. We don't need to be afraid of a giant, powerful waterfall. You lead us by a still water, still and quiet and calm, and a place where we can settle and rest and know that you are the one who is guiding and providing. Lord, you promise to restore our soul. I think of it, a tapestry with all of the threads pulled out, and you are lovingly restoring all of those threads, all of those pieces. I feel like you're adding gold thread in some of the places that has been missing and tattered. You're bringing gold out of something that has been traumatic. Lord, restore our souls. Help us to drink deeply of your living water that restores, not of the junk offered by this world. You are the only one that is able to completely restore our souls. Lord God, you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You are leading us even in the midst of this crazy, terrifying time. You are drawing us closer to you. Righteousness, being right-wise, we are turned toward you and facing you. We turn away from all of the things that we have been so distracted by and so busy with. We turn to you. We repent of all of the things that have not been paths of righteousness, that have not sought you, that have sought approval by humans, that have sought all these other things rather than seeking you. Lord, we ask that all that we do, our righteousness, our thoughts, our lives, would be for your name's sake, for your glory alone. Lord, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it feels like we are in the midst of the valley of the shadow right now. We are hearing about people dying in our own state, in our own city, and around the world. Lord, it is hard. It is affecting our very families. It's already affected my family and people in this congregation. Lord, we are in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. And it is so easy to fear, but you tell us not to fear. Lord, we put our trust in you because you know the way out of this valley. And you know the way in this valley. You know the way through this valley. You are with us. That's the only reason we don't need to fear, is because you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Your shepherd's crook will pull us out of a place we've fallen. Your rod is the weapon, the protector. You will break away the enemy animals that come at us, whatever it is, whether they are massive giants or they're microscopic organisms. You can stop us, stop that. And we ask that you would be our shield and our defender in the midst of this valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, we cling to the fact that you are with us in the midst of this. Lord, you do prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. That's crazy. It doesn't seem possible. Like the enemies aren't vanquished yet. The enemies are still right around us. But what do? You don't have this massive battle. You have a banquet. Lord God, help us to sit at this banquet and to trust that you are the one, that you're like a force shield around us. You're the one that is protecting and providing not just adequate rations, but more than enough, that we can savor what you're laying before us, your word, your presence, your heart. Lord, you anoint our heads with oil. Lord, you talk about needing to anoint the sick. We pray that you would anoint all of us and all those who are sick. Anoint them with the balm of Gilead. Anoint them with your healing oil. And anoint us to be ministers of the gospel, even as you anointed Aaron and the other priests, even as you anointed David as king. Anoint us, Lord, so that we can be a priesthood of all believers, so that we can bring your word and your power to those who are starving for your word. Lord, our cup, because we are drinking from you, because the water is coming from your living water, our cup overflows. Lord, we may have cracks in our cup. We are broken vessels, but as you pour your water in, it spills out everywhere, and that's what you want. You don't want us to keep it all to ourselves. You want it to run over. And Lord, we pray that you would make it run over. Fill our church to overflowing. Fill our neighborhoods to overflowing, that we can be ministers of your grace and your love and your power. As others around us are afraid, let our cup that runs over because of your living water touch their lives and quench their longing and thirst for what is good and true and noble. Lord God, we know that your goodness and your mercy will follow us. We know that that's the future that you're promising, that your goodness and your mercy will be with us always for all of our lives. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to see it. Take away the blinders, take away the fear, the distractions, and let us see your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, may we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May your spirit dwell in us. May we dwell with you, abide in you as you abide in us. Lord, may your abiding rearrange the furniture in our lives. May it rearrange how our lives are oriented, how we think, how we speak, how we listen. Change us, Lord, for your glory. For you are our good shepherd, and your sheep will listen to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.